Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Gary Neron welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry taking a book of the Bible verse by verse, teaching as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology, speaking the truth in love, and our purpose is to give the lamp and light to all. Last week in our study of Hebrews chapter 12, we were taught the meaning of the word repent and what God expects from us when we repent. Let's continue with that thought today. Now, here's our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
If you're not chastened, then you simply are not a child of God, and therefore you're going to hell. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." Now, when you're believing on the name of the Lord, you're believing on his person. You're relying on his person, but you're also coming into fellowship with his person. Now, who is the Lord? Well, he was God in the flesh. As a matter of fact, we read John 1:12, that as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. But this same one, in verses 1 through 3 of John chapter 1, was said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And that was, there was God, doesn't mean used to be, but rather at the beginning, when everything was being created, he already was. He already existed. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. So the Word made all things. The Word was God. Then in verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us." It's when God became a man 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. And when you're believing in his name, you're believing this is what God did and did for you personally as well as for me personally. He became a man. He was born of a virgin. Lived 33 and a half years without sin. He died on an old cruel cross for your sins and for mine. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose up victorious over hell and the grave. He did that for you, and he did that for me. And he says that if we'd come to him, he would in no wise cast us out. But when we come to him, we realize that we're coming from darkness to light. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and believing unto righteousness is looking at his righteousness, but we're believing into it. In other words, we're placing ourselves in his righteousness. And so he cleanses us from sin by his blood. See, there's too many scriptures that speak of repentance, even in the Christian life, that deal with repentance from sin. Now, so often people say, well, the word repent means a change of the mind. And I have no problem with that. There's also a second meaning to it. It also means to turn from, but just keeping with change the mind. If a Christian repents using the same Greek word, he's just changing his mind about the sin. So he may continue in it, but he's changed his mind about it. Now he doesn't enjoy it anymore. It's bad, but he's going to continue to do it. You see, my friend, we confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He came to save us from our sins. That's why Acts 17:30 says, "God commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he's appointed a day in which he will judge the world." Repent. God commanded all men. He didn't say all saved men, all elected men. All men God has commanded to repent. Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the Lord." So if you're saved, endure the discipline knowing it is for your good. And as Job, stand true, although you don't fully understand at the moment. In Job 23:10, Job says, "But he knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Now, Job has lost all of his wealth, all of his children, and now his health. And this sounds by itself, verse 10 of Job 23, "He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." That sounds good. That sounds like faith. But what makes it even more interesting is verses 8 and 9. Job says, "I looked before me, I looked behind me, I looked to the right, I looked to the left." He was searching in prayer and seeking God, and it just seemed like his prayer was unanswered. There was no response from God. So what did he do? His was to do right, stay in God's word, stay faithful to it, and stay faithful to God. He knows the way you take. He's not caught off guard. He doesn't miss a thing. So my friend, endure. Now that takes us to verses 9 and 10. And there we read, it says, "For furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Now, this shows our fathers did this to us as children. But an earthly father's love simply cannot measure up to our heavenly father's love. Now, we've had fathers of our flesh who corrected us, and we gave them reverence. And I like the way this puts this, because this is not saying that your fathers, your earthly fathers, were just bad men. They were bad, terrible fathers. That's not what he's saying. That's not what he's saying at all. You see, there's a group in our country, and maybe in other countries as well, that take our history books, and they start writing things that really I doubt the validity of them, and I'm sure that they're not needed. But they'll talk about the terrible sex lives of your nation's fathers, whether it was Lincoln or Washington or whomever, Jefferson. And boy, they talk about all the immoral and the terrible deeds they did. And some of the stuff they might have found may have been something people wrote in their day that didn't like those men, and wrote them in a way of accusation like you have people write today on blogs. But they undermined this country, its principles, they undermined everything. And that's their history. But there are people doing the same thing in the realm of Christianity today. People have written books, and they'll talk about Abraham, Noah, David, and on down the line. All these men, terrible fathers, terrible parents. The reason they were all so bad is because all the kings were so bad was because David, of his sin with Bathsheba, caused the rest of the kings to do bad, caused Absalom to do what he did, and Adonijah to do what he did, and Solomon became a terrible man because of David. Well, what does that do? Well, it's the same thing as Freud, that you blame the environment. Same thing as Marxism. You blame the environment, and you don't make them personally responsible for their actions. Now, Adam and Eve sin, and this nature, this whole human race, dies physically. And this whole human race is doomed to hell unless each of us get a savior. But, my friend, it's not that I sin because I can't help it, because I don't have a choice, and because I'm forced to sin. Isn't it interesting we read about Cain and Abel? Cain killed Abel for Abel's righteous sacrifice unto God. And do we say that Cain did that because of Adam's sin? Adam and Eve sinned, that's why Cain did it. He couldn't help himself, and therefore he's not responsible. Let's not be so ignorant. Let us not be so foolish. And these Bible teachers, whether they're serious and actually believe in the fundamentals of the faith and are just deceived, or they are the certain men crept in unawares among us that are able to deceive many, and there are many been deceived by that kind of teaching. And now they automatically say, hey, kids go wrong, that's the parents' fault. And they take personal responsibility away, which goes against the Word of God. Do you realize that the book of Luke, in giving the genealogy of Jesus Christ, it starts backwards at the place where Mary is and Joseph, and it goes back to the front. And the last it says, Seth, who was the son of Adam, who was the son of God. Adam messed up, and his father was God. So, if you're going to use the logic these people use, then really this whole human race and all of its sin is God's fault, not Adam's. Now, isn't that blasphemous? Yet there are people that use that. Now, yes, there are bad parents. There are parents that drink in front of their kids, they cuss, they do everything else, but they're good parents. But are they perfect parents? No, I don't think so. Have you ever met a perfect parent? I haven't. I thought I had two of the best, and yet they weren't perfect parents. So what I'm trying to say is that watch out for these people that are trying to run down every one of these Bible characters. It's funny, I asked one of them that was doing that. I said, wow, as bad as this guy was, I wonder why God put him in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews chapter 11. Why did he put Abraham and Noah and David in that hall? They were such terrible men. That must have been a mistake. And you see, it's so foolish when you put their theories to the light of scriptures, they fall apart. So, coming back to our text, we've had fathers of our flesh who corrected us and we gave them reverence. We may not have understood at the time, but we understood that it is the duty of children to give the reverence of submission to our father's correction when we have been disobedient. Now, the fathers of our flesh chastened us in our childhood. I don't know about you, didn't really appreciate it at the time. I mean, I never said, praise the Lord, this is wonderful, Dad, keep it up. But when we came to our maturity, we loved and honored them all the more for the fact that they were willing to take a belt, to take a switch, and wear us out. And the only question in our mind is, why did they not do it more often? This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name, mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us on the website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the Sermon Library. That website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address for the Lamp and Light broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And again, our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Gary Neron, saying, may God's peace be with all that are in Christ Jesus.
Stand so the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.